You are listening to the Over the Line Show with Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. The Over the Line Show airs every Sunday from 7 to 9 on News Radio 610 WTBN.
News Radio 610 WTVN, Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos on this Sunday night, just after 7 o'clock, and this is Over the Line. Jack, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. It's Selection Sunday.
All right.
Yeah.
That's a basketball thing, I believe.
Yeah, it is a basketball thing.
Well, that's good. We expect the Buckeyes to be selected.
Yes, the Buckeyes will be selected.
Okay, because they did.
They'll
right.
get a rose at the rose ceremony. Oh, we'll all be good.
That's very sweet. Well, what time does all that happen?
Soon, I assume.
Soon. I think it said that in the program listings. It just said soon.
I think probably in an hour, maybe.
All right.
I don't know.
Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us tonight. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great.
Kevin,
am I gonna get selected?
Kevin is very excited about Selection Sunday.
I didn't know it was a thing.
Well, I actually
you're as interested in that as I am.
I actually wasn't done.
Oh, there's more to it?
There's more to it. So I have a tradition.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do it this week, and then I'll play it next week on the show. I have a tradition that we did back when this was an internet-only endeavor, and I will continue to do it. I have my daughter, my youngest daughter.
Oh, she does your bracket.
Help me fill out at least the first two rounds, the first weekend.
Yeah.
And she only picks the teams based upon uniform color or if she likes the mascot better.
Yeah.
And how many times has she done it better than you?
Quite often. She, believe it or not, she picked, several years ago, she picked that number when the Michigan State Spartans were number two and got upset by a 15 seed. She picked that upset. She picked that upset.
Picked.
It was the only...
Picked. Quote unquote pick.
It was the only game in that entire bracket she picked correctly, but she picked the long shot, and there you go.
I did that
she
once.
She lucked into it. She didn't do analysis.
No,
she
told you she goes by uniform color and the mascot.
Okay.
That was her analysis. But I did it once by flipping a coin.
Yeah.
At a work thing. And I was the only one who picked this one. It was an upset. And they're like, how'd you know? I go, because it came up heads.
Because the universe told me.
Exactly.
Now, Kevin, the last time you were here, we started the thing with our designated young person.
Mm-hmm.
We have a different designated young person this evening.
It's the same one.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
He's just a little less young by like a month.
I thought, no, wait a minute.
Yeah, wait, what? You don't recognize him?
Were you here last time?
Yeah.
Kevin's got like eight kids.
I got three from this one. No, I'm just kidding. I got three that I know of.
I thought it was the other one last time.
Which other one? The older one or the
younger?
Yeah,
the older one.
No, he wasn't here.
I thought he was.
It was Ben.
He's the only designated young person. His other kids aren't our designated young person.
Well, I thought that was going to change.
No.
I thought it was going to be whoever was here was the designated young person.
No, Ben. The designated young person.
That
is his title until he turns no longer young.
I gave him the first right of refusal.
At what point?
At least until
that means you're under contract to us at some point, to some degree, Ben.
It's probably until he's old enough to rent a car, he's no longer eligible to be the designated
young person.
Is that
it? Like, you can be the designated young person up to 25?
Yeah, why not? You can stay on your parents' insurance up to...
How old are you, Ben?
14.
Oh, well, settle in. Ben does not have headphones, Jack, so I don't believe he can hear you.
He can't hear me, though.
Okay.
If he doesn't have headphones, is there headphones in there? Would you like to give him a pair of headphones?
The only other pair of headphones in here are the ones that Kevin is using.
All right, wait, talk smack about me while I can't hear.
I'll find a pair of headphones.
We'll figure something out. Is that it? Did you get a haircut since last time?
Loser.
I'm trying to find some reason that I would be that I would have been that
And
foolish.
Remember, Ben was correct. About not going to school?
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that as we're coming in because he was really hoping for a snow day. And I'm like, you're not going to get a snow day.
And then he totally did.
Yeah,
I remember everything. You apparently, Ben can't even hear me, but I at least know who he is.
You should hear the terrible things Jack is saying about you right now.
Yeah,
it's awful.
Look at that fashion. That jacket just makes you look fat. Wow. rude.
Okay.
Much?
All right. I'm turning off his mic.
Ben is insulting himself in his own head. That's
exactly.
terrible.
That's amazing. Terrible.
Kevin, so long as you're here.
Yes.
The Oscars were last weekend.
Uh-huh.
Do you think anybody got snubbed? Like, I was trying to remember who got, like, the acting awards, because it was The Shape of Water was Best Picture.
Yeah, and Best
and
Director.
And then Gary Oldman won for Best Actor.
Mm-hmm.
Frances McDormand, who later got her Oscar stolen
for
Best Actress. And then it was Allison Janney, Best Supporting Actress. Uh-huh. And I couldn't remember.
Sam Rockwell.
Oh, I hate Sam Rockwell. Yeah. That's why I blocked it out.
Yeah, well, Sam Rockwell?
I don't like him.
I heard he's a really nice guy.
I don't hate him personally. I don't know the man. But I've never seen him in anything and went, wow, that was terrific.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a Sam Rockwell fan.
That's okay.
When you saw it, do you think anybody got robbed?
Well, I never like to say snubbed. I always don't like that term because the implication is that if somebody got snubbed, the person who won didn't really deserve it.
Yeah.
And then every now and then there's a nominee who doesn't. But I think pretty much anybody who gets to the nomination process of the Oscars, they're doing pretty well. And good for
sure.
them. But I don't think there were any big surprises.
Yeah.
And I think if there was anything about the Oscars last week is the big surprise, there was no big surprise.
Okay.
Not like last year where we had, although I do think they should have said La La Land for Best Picture again.
They could have had a little bit more fun with that.
I did like how Guillermo del Toro did check the envelope.
Oh, yeah. And then he waved it at everybody he looked and made sure it said that it was his name. Did you watch the ceremony?
I have to admit, I don't actually watch it live.
Okay.
Because it takes 4 hours.
Okay.
We watched Thor Ragnarok. And I DVR'd it and I was checking it online.
Yeah.
And then I go and I watch it. And it takes like 90 minutes to watch the whole thing if I zip through all the speeches.
Yeah.
Because then I know I'm like, oh, no, it's Frances McDormand gave an interesting speech.
She did. What a weird laugh she has.
She's insane.
Did you notice her weird laugh? Jack, did you notice the weird laugh?
Yes.
Frances McDormand?
I did. I noticed it when she won for Fargo, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I give her credit for just being herself.
Sure.
And you know what? I haven't heard anyone say this about the Oscars. I'm going to go into something really narrow here.
Yeah.
But if you remember, it was last year. Who was it? Was it Kim Novak, I think, came on.
Okay.
And she had so much plastic surgery.
Yeah.
She looked alarming.
Yeah.
We'll say. And they had Eva Marie Saint come on.
Yeah.
This one, she looked good. I mean, she looked old, but she's in her 90s. That's allowed. You're allowed to have a couple wrinkles in her 90s. But you can tell she hasn't been doing facial surgery every 3 months.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I like the fact that people can go on live television and let their face be broadcast with the imperfections that it has.
Sure.
And the fact that Frances
McDormand. Well, people overdo that stuff.
They
I remember there was like a 10-year period where Goldie Hawn's lips were like,
oh, they were out of control.
Happened. And then I saw
it's like she was always being stung by bees.
And then like 2 years ago, I saw her in an awards show and I was like, hey, good for her.
Yeah, she went back to being normal.
She looks regular, like a regular person again. And then she got movie roles again.
Yeah.
Because she was in that Amy Schumer thing. And
that was unfortunate.
But yeah.
I did notice the affection between Frances McDormand and her husband, Joel Cohen. Boy. Yeah. Ooh, man, the romance just heated up there.
You know what I thought
they barely acknowledged they were sitting next to each other.
It was certainly a night where like all the ladies were like, we're women, blah, 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 you know, and you know, in the year
of
Harvey Weinstein.
Happy National Women's History Month, everybody.
Well, but I think that was important because, you know, one
blah,
question
blah,
I've
blah,
been
blah,
asked,
blah.
Was it too political? And I'm like, it went into politics, but you can't fault the Oscars and people at the Oscars for talking about Harvey Weinstein.
Drives me crazy. Yeah. Anytime you talk about an issue, people label it as political.
Yeah.
You shouldn't harass women. Don't be political. That's not politics.
That's
well,
good
and
manners.
Also the Harvey Weinstein thing that's the epicenter was in Hollywood. This is relevant to them. And then having like Lupita Nyong'o and Kamal Nanjiani, the guy who wrote The Big Sick.
Sure.
And Guillermo del Toro talking about immigrant issues. That's relevant. They're immigrants.
The thing that drove me a little crazy was, you know, they come out and they talk about ladies are wonderful and ladies are wonderful and they, you know, and everything. And they would say, what a big year. I want to go on the record.
Title of the show now, Ladies Are Wonderful.
Ladies are wonderful.
Ladies are wonderful.
But there was
reasons.
Like one category where it was like four men and one woman nominated. What's that?
So she said the all-male character.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And that one,
the four men and one woman nominated. Is that what?
Yeah.
Best director. Yeah.
But then when the she was like the four men and the one amazing woman nominated in this category, and the Oscar goes to Bob Smith.
And
you know, like he, like screw that guy because well, I was really rooting for the lady, and you know, this guy didn't. It just felt like
and no one
what a disappointment that this guy won.
And no one pointed out that there were 5 women nominated for Best Actors.
Seriously,
and Best Supporting Actress.
I know, right?
Seriously,
I was really happy when Wes Studi came out.
Yeah,
I thought that was so great because Wes Studi is in all these amazing movies. He's mm-hmm. in Geronimo and Last of the Mohicans. He's in Heat. A Michael Mann movie. He's fantastic in that. And I was like, wow, Wes Studi got to go on stage at the Oscars. That's great. And so and then he kind of like schooled everybody. It was really good.
He's like, I fought in a
it's
war.
It's like, I fought in a war for you for you people who stole my land. You're welcome.
All right.
Go ladies.
Our first break to get to here. When we come back, NASA is ready to fly into the sun with Captain Kirk. And we'll check out some TV tidbits. As we continue here on Over the Line on this Sunday night, it's News Radio 610 WTVN. It's Over the Line on 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos with you. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys of the Movies.
What's up?
His son Ben is our designated young person this evening.
Welcome back.
And every evening.
And every evening?
Yeah, he's the designated young person. This isn't just a thing that happens one show when he does. That's his title for a while.
Well, yeah, every show, but I mean like
even when he's not here, he's still our designated young person.
I like that idea. If I'm ever doing like a Saturday morning open phones and I've got a question for the youth, I would like
we
could call Ben.
Yes.
Bring me up.
You say that, but I tell you that show runs from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. on Saturdays.
Count me out. Sorry.
All right. That's what I thought.
I'm resigning my title. I can't handle this.
You have no choice in this. You're a young person.
Ben doesn't work on Saturdays.
Okay.
Yeah.
NASA is planning on sending Ben, if he wants, into the sun.
Yes.
They have. finally. Is. They have asked Captain Kirk himself, William Shatner, to be their pitchman for a brand new Your Name to the Sun campaign. Now until April 27th, NASA is accepting online submissions for the hottest ticket in town. Names, not people, unfortunately, will be sent on the Parker Solar Probe all the way to the sun. So they will write your name down, I guess put it on a spreadsheet, put it in the Parker Solar Probe, and launch that sucker straight towards the sun. This summer from Cape Canaveral, Florida, the Parker Solar Probe will then eventually come within 4 million miles of our star, closer than any other spacecraft. Temperatures will reach 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit as the spacecraft zips in and out of the atmospheric hot zone of the sun. Until now, the materials for such a grueling journey were unavailable, but somehow they found them. I don't know where, but they found them.
How much does this cost me?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. It's an online submission, and they will select names and then put your name in the probe and shoot it towards the sun.
Oh, so if I'm
so
lucky enough.
So says Captain Kirk.
If I'm lucky enough.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to take
everybody's
name.
They'll burn up my name on the sun.
This sounds like the beginning of a Marvel superhero movie.
And then when the Peter Parker solar probe returns, it'll have all the powers of the sun.
There was a spider in the capsule.
Anyway, if you want to have your name shot in towards the sun, just go online, look for Captain Kirk, listen to his pitch, put your name on the online submission, and forget about it.
I didn't realize how desperate he was since...
I didn't say you had to do
since
it.
Kaylee Cuoco took over the Priceline commercials. Oh. Since that Big Bang Theory girl started doing them all on her own. Remember there was a transition period where they were both in them?
That had been
where it was William Shatner and Kaylee Cuoco? There's one where she was supposedly like the daughter or something. Yeah.
She's like, can you come on my show?
He stopped getting the
gigs.
He
has a regular series.
He does?
Yes. With Terry Bradshaw, Arthur Fonzarelli, William Shatner.
Oh, that thing. That one where they go around the world with a comedian that's not funny?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a regular series. So I'm sorry if he lost the Priceline gig to get that series on NBC.
Yeah.
I think he's doing just fine.
I forgot that classic.
Plus, he's trying to get people's names into the sun.
Can we nominate people to be shot into the sun?
That's what I was hoping it would be when I first clicked on the story.
I can give him a list.
I have a list.
Some other TV tidbits. Norm MacDonald. You know Norm MacDonald?
No.
Used to be on SNL.
Yeah.
That's funny. No. Actually, I think I told you a few months ago that his podcast, they film it and
you can watch it on YouTube.
And then they put it on YouTube. Yeah. Well, apparently that's done well enough that now he's got a deal for a talk show on Netflix.
Ooh.
Oh, so it's essentially the same show.
Another thing on Netflix I'm not going to watch.
It's still him for an hour talking to somebody somewhat famous. 10 episodes.
Because that's what Netflix needs, another interview show.
I would love, you know what, the only one I would watch him interview, O.J. Simpson, because he got fired from
SNL for the O.J. jokes.
I want to watch him interview David Hasselhoff.
The show is going to be called Norm MacDonald Has a Show.
Well, there you, that's...
He should interview Zach Galifianakis, and they could just each constantly ask each other awkward questions.
Nickelodeon is rebooting Blue's Clues.
Ooh.
Okay, I didn't realize it was gone.
Childhood.
Yeah, it's been gone since 2006, I guess.
Ben, you used to watch Blue's Clues.
I used to watch it all the time.
It ran from 96 to 2006. There was Steve... And then there was his...
That's a pretty good impersonation.
That was actually very good. And then that dude left the show.
Yeah, because he was going bald.
Yeah. And then they brought in the other guy. Steve's real name was Steve.
Yeah.
But then they brought in an actor named Donovan to play Steve's brother, Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the show was done.
Blues can do. We can too. Woo.
That's the kind of input you don't get if you don't have a designated young person on your program.
You don't get random noises that make no sense.
I was really hoping for the Blue's Clues episode, whereas what does Blue want to do today? Sit in a corner and lick herself. Because that's what my dog does all day.
Because don't we all?
They are conducting open cast. There's an open casting call if you want to try to be the new live action person on the new Blue's Clues.
Can I try out for Blue?
To be the new Blue?
Yeah,
maybe.
I should be the guy, just this big hairy guy. But scare the bejesus out of all the children.
Hi, kids!
Guarantee you, because every time they reboot a show, they feel the need to change. You know, it's going to be like a Latina woman. Like, you just know it, because every time they reboot a show, they go, yeah, but it was a white guy last time. Now we need a woman.
Now we need
someone of a different nationality. Now we need so.
Darn you, diversity.
It's so. But every show. And they think that makes it fresh.
Well, at least it's not like in the 80s when they'd reboot something and they say, we're just going to rap the song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Wicca, wicca, wicca. Yeah.
I just found a blue.
Yeah, exactly.
My favorite thing they did in the 80s was like what they did to, was it Jan Michael Vincent in Airwolf, where they just film a body double walking away and then something explodes and they reboot the series from there. Remember that? Was that Airwolf?
I think that was, that was Airwolf. He was on there.
Was in Airwolf? Wasn't Dana Carvey in Airwolf?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
Oh, no, he was in Blue Thunder, the other helicopter show.
There were rivals.
Oh, was he? I know he was in Tough Guys with Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster.
One more reboot. Very exciting news that Wife Swap is coming back.
Oh, God.
The show originally ran on ABC from 2004 to 2010. And then
how did it go 6 years?
On ABC. And then Celebrity Wife Swap ran from 2012 to 2015. The reboot of Wife Swap has been picked up by CMT.
I was actually approached to be in that show.
Really?
Yeah. This is back when I did competitive eating.
Yeah.
And they wanted to get competitive eaters to swap.
As opposed to just your amateur eating.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, jeez.
I actually want somebody.
That guy eat that hamburger?
You know,
man, he could turn pro.
You know, when I was a professional, I would take 29 tacos. But since I'm no longer a pro,
no.
I think I'll stick to 27.
Well, no, because they did that. They contacted me. The IFOCE was like, they approached us and they want us. They can't say who it would be that you'd swap with. And I asked my wife, and she's like, yeah, no way. She's like, no way.
I'd like to keep our marriage. Thank you very much.
I was asked to be on House Hunters International when I lived in Ireland.
Really?
Yeah, they contacted me, and then I found out that they wanted me to move out of our house because we'd already found our house.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted us to move out and then film it as we moved back in. I'm like, I'm not taking everything out and putting it on the lawn.
So I could
pretend to move back in. We just got settled.
We have
a mutual friend, because that sounds so funny. It reminds me, we have a mutual friend named Katie who was once I think she was a plaintiff on that Judge Alex show.
Yeah.
But she was somebody, you know, it was all, you know, she was just acting.
Right. She didn't really have a case.
She won.
She did win.
She fake won that case.
She fake won the fake case.
Hey, real quick, going on around Columbus in the coming week, the Blue Jackets are at home tomorrow night versus Montreal. I'm going to say former pop star Aaron Carter at the Rumba Cafe Wednesday night. Current pop star Demi Lovato at the Schottenstein Center Wednesday night. Well, I wonder who's going to draw better. Comedian Gary Owen at the Funny Bone Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Thursday night at Nationwide Arena, Blake Shelton's Country Music Freaks Tour. Trace Adkins also a part of that. Next Saturday night, the Blue Jackets will be at home versus Ottawa. And also next Saturday night, Montgomery Gentry at the Bluestone.
Yeehaw.
Which I had to look that up because if you remember, Troy Gentry of Montgomery Gentry was killed in that helicopter accident last year.
That's true.
So Montgomery Gentry now is just Montgomery, and then the backing band sings his parts. I read the whole thing about it today.
Oh, okay.
I just found it very interesting.
That's very depressing.
I thought it would be. That's why I wanted to end the half hour on that. Bottom of the hour news coming up. When we return, something piggy in the state of Denmark. And food news as we continue with you. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe June and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us.
Hey.
His son Ben is our designated young person.
Hello.
Kevin is going to be hosting Popcorn Wars next hour. Kevin, you should know that last week, I won for the very first time.
Yay.
We did a different type of Popcorn Wars. We did Oscar trivia.
Don't try to sugarcoat your loss.
Excuse me. I'm not done talking.
Okay.
We did Oscars trivia, and Joe was on fire.
Really? Oh, okay. Okay.
I was trying to pay you a compliment, well, but thanks for taking it immediately the wrong way.
I thought you were trying to shovel sand on your loss.
No.
I didn't realize.
I've got so many more wins than you. Why do I care if I have a loss?
That's true. There's no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
Dignity, who's she?
If this was the American League East, you're 38 games out of first place, and I'm in first place.
Would I be the Rays?
Yes.
The Rays still in the AL East?
Sure, why not?
Try to demonstrate a little sports knowledge.
You know that the Rays are still, you know baseball. Don't feign naive about that.
But for anybody to know anything about the Rays, I think that's impressive.
The Rays have been good for several years.
Have they?
Yes.
That I didn't know.
They went to a World Series back in, what, 07? No.
Did they play in the World Series?
They lost. Yeah, back they lost to the Phillies.
Maybe? We all remember 9 years ago when the Rays went to the World. That was a long time ago.
It's still recent memory.
Well, when I try to
brag... You don't even remember who Ben is, and he was here a couple weeks
when
back.
When I try to brag about the White Sox winning the World Series in 05, people are like, please... And they discount that and they act like that was like six millennium ago.
Well, the White Sox have been to more than one World Series.
Yes. So I remind Cubs fans.
Okay.
What's your Denmark story?
All right. Ben, have they forced you to read Hamlet yet?
No.
Okay. Well, they're going to force you to read Hamlet.
Yes.
It's actually,
hey, joke's on you. I like that.
It's a Shakespearean play. It's actually a very good play. My advice is there's been many movie versions of Hamlet. Go for the Mel Gibson version.
Oh, that's very good.
Skip the Kenneth Branagh version. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, the Kenneth Branagh is what he affectionately calls the eternity version because they do the full play, which is like 4 hours.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like it goes on.
Which they do that deliberately. But the Mel Gibson version is the Franco Zeffirelli one. Is much quicker. But I think the Kenneth Branagh versions, it's good to, if you want to get the full.
Isn't Billy effect. Crystal in the Kenneth Branagh version as he's Yorick?
Somewhere. I think so.
So anyway, there's a lot of weird cameos in the Kenneth Branagh version. So they're gonna make you read Hamlet, and one of the very famous lines from Hamlet is "There's something rotten in the state of Denmark." So this story comes from Denmark, and that's how I was tying it into.
Is it rotten?
No, it's piggy.
Ooh.
Statistics now show that pigs outnumber people in Denmark 2-1.
They're taking over.
Exactly.
Again, this sounds like a Marvel movie.
For every person you see in Denmark, know that there are two pigs to match that person. The European Statistical Agency Eurostat has said that with a population of about 150 million in the European Union, pigs far outnumber cattle and other bovines. The second largest category is the bovine, the cow, with 89 million heads. There's 150 million pigs in the European Union, and 40% of them are in Spain, France, and Denmark. So much so that in Denmark, it's the only country where the pigs outnumber the people, 215 pigs to every 100 residents.
I'll tell you this, too. 20% of them are on Tinder.
Now,
is that where babies come from?
Now, here's my favorite part of the story. Not coincidentally, Denmark is also the country in Europe best known for having really good bacon.
No. That's good news for the pigs now.
Yeah. The Netherlands is next with 70 pigs per 100 people, followed by Spain with 63 to 100, and Belgium with 54 to 100. So second place is 70 to 100, and Denmark is first with 215 to 100. So if you go to Denmark, be prepared to have some pig.
I'll tell you this about the Mel Gibson movie Hamlet.
Okay. Because I thought you were going to go a Miss Piggy joke, but instead you go back to Hamlet.
No, I go back to Hamlet
pig joke. Okay,
because I remember going to see that when it was in the theaters. My friend,
our English class, we went to see that instead of reading the book.
My buddy and I bought tickets, and we went to see it at the Dublin Village 18.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
It was like an afternoon showing or something. We bought tickets. We went in. We were the only two people in the theater until these two women walked in and sat in the two seats right in front of us. Big empty theater.
Remember, ladies.
Happy National Women's History Month.
Ladies are wonderful.
I love ladies.
Tagline of the show.
You're going to throw that Women's History Month at me every time, all right?
Every time you say something nasty about the ladies.
That's not nasty. That's rude movie
Well,
movie
then why
etiquette.
Did it matter that they were talk? Ladies? Why couldn't you have just said people?
I'm painting a picture for the audience.
Did they have like a beehive hairdo?
No, they didn't.
Like Bugs Bunny?
No,
excuse me, lady,
didn't.
Can you remove your chapeau?
No, they didn't. But I'll tell you what, they'd been to the concession stand many times.
They weren't serving liquor back then, though.
Well, still.
All right. Was one of them Sweetums from the Muppets?
No, it was not. I wish I would have gotten an autograph. Are you familiar with Open Table? Is anyone familiar with what Open Table is?
I know
familiar.
Open Bar.
You know Open Table, Kevin?
Is that a food thing?
It's a restaurant thing.
Oh,
it's like an online or an app thing where you can go and you can make a reservation at a restaurant.
Well, can't you just do that with the
reservations?
But somebody decided to turn it into a business, and they've done quite well.
There's an app for that.
You know something people do all the time? Let's make money off of it.
Exactly.
Capitalism.
So an Open Table employee recently was caught making hundreds of fraudulent bookings through a competitor in an effort to discredit them. So not only is this something that Open Table does, but there's another company that apparently does it as well.
So there's apparently like espionage, like corporate espionage at the Open Table reservation.
It was a rogue employee.
There are two companies out there that will make that you can. Oh, geez.
At least.
They narrowed it down. They go, I wonder who did this.
There's Open Table.
So it's like Blu-ray versus, what was the other one?
HD, DVD.
HD, yeah, okay.
There's Open Table and apparently something else called Reserve. So somebody from Open Table took it upon themselves to go to Reserve and then set up hundreds of reservations, I guess, at restaurants all over Chicago, mostly on Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
And then, what, to make it so that nobody could get in?
And then nobody showed, and then the restaurants were like, the goal was so that the restaurants would go, I'm so angry, I'm going to stop doing business with Reserve and take all my business to Open Table.
Okay.
Or did they all say, this guy reserved 15 tables?
Well, I'm sure he used different names every time. But somebody from the Reserve company, you know, used their computers or whatever to figure out who it was. And then they called Open Table and said, what gives?
Even though he used different names, he used the same IP?
Probably, I guess. So called Open Table and said, what gives? And Open Table investigated and fired this guy.
Is there like a reservation mafia developing?
I think this is the equivalent of like ordering a bunch of pizzas to a neighbor's house. Yeah. It's probably very similar to that.
See, I thought they were going the opposite way, and they were trying to create a run on the reservation market where, you know, like they would book all these things through Reserve, and then Open Table would go, we still have reservations we can get you.
Yeah, are you sure it wasn't like one of those ticket buying agencies that was just running another scam?
No, it was not. Moving on, we've got Papa John's. Remember, Papa John's was the official pizza of the NFL up until recently. And so you would see the commercials for, I don't know how many years it was, but it was a number of years.
Really? I thought it was like Domino's. Wasn't Domino's?
No, it was Papa John's. He and Peyton Manning would be in these commercials.
You would see all these commercials, and then there was the issue within the last year where you
with
had the Papa of Papa John's.
John
essentially
Schneider
was,
or something like that.
It was not John Schneider. It was Bo Duke.
Oh, Bo Duke? Oh.
So Papa of Papa John's basically protested the protests during the national anthem of the NFL game. So he came out and said that he was against the players, you know, doing all this. And so he got a little bit, you know, some people were like, yeah, good for him.
He also got
a little bit of a backlash, and his pizza sales dropped.
He also came out against Obamacare when it first showed up.
He got political for a while, and his
pizza sales dropped after that, too.
Well, so last month, the NFL and Papa John's decided to terminate their agreement. So Papa John's is no longer the official pizza of the NFL. Now, Peyton Manning was in all those commercials, and Peyton Manning actually owned 31 Papa John's restaurants.
Oh, okay. So he like was the franchisor?
Yes.
Okay.
But like 2 days before that deal ended between the two,
he yelled, "Omaha!"
Yeah, and then he sold all 31 restaurants.
Oh, he called an audible, did he?
Yes, he did. He got out from under that real quick.
Should I be paying attention to the Papa John's stock market?
Sure.
Yeah.
Now's a good time to buy because it's probably low. but now it's Pizza Hut, I think, is the official pizza of the NFL.
Oh, great.
I haven't eaten Pizza Hut in at least
10 years. I used to really like the Big New Yorker.
I loved the Big New Yorker.
Was that the square one?
No, it was the really big one. And
that was what Trump did commercials for.
And Spike Lee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really good. I liked the Big New Yorker.
Did Spike Lee do a commercial together?
I don't know if they did a commercial together. They may have been in the same commercial, but not, you know, they weren't in the same commercial.
They weren't in the same room.
Yeah.
I didn't like the Big New Yorker. And also when they do that stuffed crust, I don't like the stuffed crust either.
Oh, no.
Either.
See, I like the stuffed crust.
Stuffed crust is amazing.
Really? Brings joy to people. So why would you like it?
The pepperoni and cheese in the stuffed crust. Remember when they did that?
You know, stuffed crust was invented by a woman. Happy National Women's History Month.
Ladies are fantastic. Ladies.
Your final food news tidbit is from the International House of Pancakes.
Which
is in the midst of their 60 Days of Giving initiative. So they're trying to do some charitable stuff and tying in with their 60th year in business. And so up for sale now, they have IHOP's Pancakeware.
Okay.
The Pancakeware collection.
I love me some IHOP.
So you can now buy IHOP's assortment of pancake PJs on the...
Is it made of pancakes?
No, it's not. Awesome. That would be awesome.
Have you ever gotten a bit...
Eat in the morning.
Just want a midnight snack. Easy and affordable.
They have...
Don't wear it around your dog.
Pajama pants, onesies, and socks, all with a breakfast theme. They've got like pictures of pancakes and other breakfast items on them. Onesies are $85 for adult sizes, $50 for child sizes.
Ooh.
You can get the lounge pants for $39. $15 for the socks. All items will be ready to ship on March 26th.
Stuff must be made in the USA.
And available until it sells out.
Okay.
$80 a pop, is it going to?
Is that a onesie?
The $85 for an adult onesie I can sort of see, but $50 for a kid's?
Yeah.
That's a lot.
It's pretty steep.
It's pretty steep for children's wear.
But again, it's for charity. It would benefit the Children's Miracle Network.
Okay.
So they're doing a charity thing.
All right, well. I would like to see how many cents of the dollar goes to the charity.
I think they're smart because if this was like any other thing, like it was a sport coat, you might be embarrassed to be seen in that.
but no one's gonna be embarrassed when you're at home in your pajamas, in your own bed, in your own room in the dark.
I would love to see somebody show up to work with an IHOP sports coat with like pancakes all over.
Did you see what Bill wore to the meeting today? Oh my!
We have the board meeting today, and here comes.
I think you got stuffed French toast there, Bill, in your jacket. No, it's the design.
Oh, wait. No, there's a little bit.
That's exactly what it is. All right. A break to get to here when we continue. Twitter bans tweet deckers. And will a crowdfunding effort resurrect an old amusement park? We will find out as we continue. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our buddy Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us. Son Ben, our designated young person as well, and I've already assured Ben tomorrow he will have school.
Yeah, sorry. It won't be like
snow
last time.
Snow day in the middle of March.
There's no nor'easter coming here.
Although tonight did call for flurries. You never know. It'll turn into something else.
I don't think it's going to mess with traffic tomorrow.
Probably not.
Oh, yeah. It'll mess with traffic.
Well, anything messes with traffic.
Ben, do you use Twitter? You're a young person. The young people like Twitter. You use Twitter?
No.
Okay. Well,
I have
Twitter.
Unlike
the rest of your generation.
I don't like to see Twitter. It depresses me.
Okay. Well, this is one of the reasons why. Twitter has suspended several popular accounts. They did this on Friday in a major crackdown of tweet deckers, which is a secret network of accounts that make tweets go viral by retweeting the same content in exchange for money.
Mm.
The company suspended several notably large accounts in Friday's cleanup, including @girlposts, @dory, @commonwhitegirl, @sodamntrue, and @memeprovider.
Not @dory.
I know.
I love
very
Dory.
Bad.
Meme provider is like not even subtle about it. We retweet everything.
Some of these accounts, which mostly just tweeted jokes and memes, had millions of followers. TweetDeckers are named after TweetDeck, which is a Twitter-owned app that allows users to monitor tweets and post to several accounts at once. They convened in secret TweetDeck groups known as decks, and the TweetDeckers capitalized on their large followings and tight-knit networks by selling their retweets to people who want to go viral. So if you want to go viral, if you make a joke and you're like, I want this to go viral, you go to the TweetDeckers, pony over some cash, and then they would start tweeting it all over the place. Individuals or brands would pay the owner of the TweetDeck group, have their network retweet the content. It would go viral because, again, they had millions of followers. Twitter, however, explicitly bans users from selling, purchasing, or attempting to artificially inflate account interactions, including followers, retweets, and likes. And on Friday, they went through and started cleaning house. A spokesperson for Twitter said that the sweep was part of a broader company effort to fight spam on the platform. Last month, Twitter announced it would be making changes to TweetDeck and restricted people from using the app to retweet the same tweet across multiple accounts, therefore defeating the whole purpose of the app. There you go.
Well, no, the app actually.
I'm gonna miss @commonwhitegirl.
Just girl things.
But Kevin's right. Meme provider. They didn't hide it.
Yeah, what is that all about?
Were they ever at will tweet for cash?
Let's make this go viral. So yeah,
you see a homeless man on the side of the street. Follow me on Twitter, please.
So there you go.
Was it because I know they're doing this because of the big crackdown on like Russian bots and stuff like
that. Right. So they cleaned out a whole bunch of bots and stuff. People found that suddenly overnight they'd lost hundreds of followers because those followers weren't real people.
Yeah.
And this is another way to try to make Twitter less, I don't know,
annoying.
Complicit in the throwing of an election. I don't know what they're doing. So I mean,
I don't think that Robert Mueller is looking into @commonwhitegirl.
No,
I don't think that's.
But he was looking at @Dory.
I don't think that's.
He was a huge fan, actually.
Yeah. So he was open for a third movie.
Also, there was a lady in Ohio, Ravenna, Ohio. I don't know where that is.
Is that down by the river?
Ravenna. I don't know. Her name is Nicolette Botsford. And she says that last month she was driving along with her mom. They're in the car, and she's eating a bag of cashews. You know how you do.
Mm-hmm.
When she bit down on something that didn't seem like a cashew. In fact, it wasn't. She spit it out and found out that it was a human tooth.
Oh.
Not her own. She says it had been in the bag of cashews. She says she was very upset. She told local TV station WOIO that she says, I got very upset. I was crying. I threw up 2 or 3 times as she was showing the tooth to her mother who
found
was in the car with her. She went to the hospital who confirmed the object was a human tooth and noted that there was a spot of dried blood on it as well. For good measure. Bloody tooth in a bag of cashews. She reached out many times to Kraft, who owns Planters, and they are investigating. She says she had to reach out to them a bunch of times because she wasn't getting calls back, but finally they did return her message. They went to her home, or they sent someone there to pick up the tooth in question. They say they're examining this. They're looking into the matter, but they haven't received any similar complaints.
You'd think somebody would have noticed losing a tooth at the Planters Fest.
Whoops.
Yeah, you would think. You would think that. I don't know how that gets past quality control.
Yeah.
WOIO is out of Cleveland, but I'm looking at the greater Cleveland area. And
you
I'm
don't
not
see
seeing
Ravenna?
Ravenna.
I think
how do you spell Ravenna?
R-A-V-E-N-N-A, yeah.
Isn't it down near
Oh, wait, it starts with R-A?
R-A-V-E-N-N-A.
I thought Ravenna. It's down near like where... Like,
oh, there it is.
Down near Ripley.
Huh? Down near Ripley. It's in Portage County. Where the heck's Portage County?
You guys know this is on the radio, right?
Okay. Geography lesson.
All right. We've got top of the hour news to get to. More geography as we continue here. Also, Jack and I, we sample an As Seen on TV product. We'll tell you how it went when we continue here on News Radio 610 WTVN. News Radio 610 WTVN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. It is Over the Line. We're with you every Sunday night from 7 to 9, looking at some pulp culture, entertainment, sports, just a look back at the week that was. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. And the week that was, I want to take this opportunity. My mother's birthday was yesterday.
Yay.
We celebrated, had a very nice birthday luncheon with her. And I just wanted to say happy birthday to my mom on the radio because, as a radio guy, I get to do that. So happy birthday to my mom.
And happy birthday to her. Mom. She's amazing. I hope she had a great birthday.
She did. She my kids made her some cards, and she wanted a pizza, so I guess she doesn't get to eat pizza very often.
Yeah.
So even though there's a Donato's 2 blocks from her house. But so I we got her a pizza.
Where'd you get her a pizza from?
Donato's.
Oh. Okay.
That's what she wanted.
Went out of your way for that one.
Well, every piece is important, so that's
edge to edge.
Yes, very, very good. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys the Movies with us tonight. Kevin, you doing all right?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Ben, all right.
Ben is our designated young person.
Hi.
Yeah. What do you usually do? 8 o'clock. Is this usually like your bedtime? We don't do bedtimes anymore, do we? 14?
Not even dinner.
I wasn't good at bedtimes when they were like 3. So okay. It's 14. It's just that I can see his light on when it's on. And so I'm like, Ben, are you going to bed?
Yeah.
Click.
Click. Father of the year.
Yeah, there you go.
I remember one time I got in huge trouble for staying up past my bedtime watching like AFV. And like I was so
that show's
terrified.
On at like 7.
I know.
Oh no, it was like the repeats on like Freeform.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I got in trouble, and I haven't watched AFV since.
But you weren't in trouble for watching that. It's
I know,
not like
but I was still terrified when I was like 4.
He was having flashbacks. He has these like military style. You know, like
these would have been in the.
He has PTSD from it. You're saying?
Whenever I hear laughing,
when he walks past the TV screen, he gets a flashback.
Well, if it's America's, maybe it's Bergeron who does it.
I was going to say, was this Tom Bergeron America's Funniest Home Videos or
Saget?
Or classic Saget?
I wouldn't let him watch Saget. I wouldn't inflict that.
Whenever
on
he sees sees somebody get hit in the groin, he falls over and wets his pants.
It's now Alfonso Ribeiro. Have you seen Alfonso Ribeiro do it?
Does he dance?
No,
but he's cheese all the way.
For those who care, I have a selection Sunday update for the Buckeyes.
Okay.
The Buckeyes are going to the West region because, you know, nothing screams Ohio like the West
the
Coast.
West.
They are the 5th seed coming out of the West. They will be playing South Dakota State on March 15th. That's our first round opponent. The number 1 seed in the West region is also an Ohio team, Xavier.
It's not Ravenna.
No, it's not Ravenna. The number 2 seed is North Carolina. So they sent Xavier, Ohio State, and North Carolina to the West. Oh, and San Diego State gets to go out there, too. So good for them. And Michigan's in our bracket as well. So there you go. We're in the West region.
Well, San Diego would make sense, man.
I understand. That's what I'm saying. But okay. Gonzaga's another top team that's going to be out there. But yeah, so Michigan. So we might end up, let's see here. Yeah, we could end up playing Michigan again. As a matter of fact, yeah, we could end up playing Michigan again before this... the season's done.
What's our seed?
We are the 5th seed in the West region.
Okay.
And that's your that's it for basketball news for the
is
show.
Is Miami in the West as well?
No.
Ben, we're seated fifth. What's your analysis on that?
I don't sports.
I don't sports. I want a shirt made that says that.
I'm sure you can find one.
Go sports ball.
I don't sports.
All right. So, Jack, you and I had a little bit of a challenge, a testing of sorts.
Yeah, you brought me a present weekend. Yesterday.
I did.
And a surprise out of nowhere.
I did.
Present, and I was something I never would have thought of ever in a billion years to buy myself, but I was intrigued by it, and I put it to use today.
Well, I bought myself one.
Correct. And then you thought,
and I thought,
Jack needs one of these too.
I thought you would enjoy it as much as I would enjoy it.
Okay.
So if you've ever seen the red copper pan infomercials,
yeah,
so
it's which I have.
It's always the same lady on there telling you how great they are. This is the Flip Witch. Which is in that same line of things. You want to describe the Flip Witch?
The Flip Witch is basically a sandwich-sized, so it's square. Mm-hmm. It's a piece of bread-sized pan that has a lid, and you clasp them together, and you then can grill your cheese sandwich or whatever on the stove and flip it over and not have it, you know, not have to use a spatula. Basically, yeah. It takes the spatula out of the equation.
They're like two, as you said, two bread-sized red copper pan, two of them hinge together
right.
So that you've got like a top and a bottom. And the theory is that you make your sandwich on the thing
at MIT.
And then you put it on the stove for 2 minutes and then you flip it, hence the name. Yeah. You flip it to the other side and then you heat that for 2 minutes. And then you take it off the flame, and then you get a nice little warm sandwich.
I've never seen this advertised, but do they show people like who can't deal with spatulas?
Oh, my
like,
God.
The infomercial people who can't deal with life. Yeah.
What they show is they show a woman serving cold sandwiches to her family for dinner.
For dinner?
Then, yeah.
We have cold sandwiches all the time. It's awesome.
But it's made out like she's really let her family down.
Well, I mean, if it was just like,
oh, Mom, cold sandwiches again.
It's like jeez.
So, Jack, how did yours go?
Okay, so my wife today said, I'm going to go get my nails done. And she was gone. And I looked at the time and I went, oh, it's almost lunchtime. No wonder. So I had to go. I had to make lunch for my girls. And I said, okay, Uncle Joe got us the Flip Witch, so we're having grilled cheese sandwiches. Who wants ham and grilled cheese? Who wants grilled cheese? And all three of us decided on ham and grilled cheese. So I seasoned the Flip Witch. Which
yeah, you gotta do
to
that.
To
the instructions.
You gotta season it. So I oiled the pan.
I've never done that before.
And I put it on there, and I heated it up until it smoked, and then I did both sides. So now apparently it's supposed to be easy to clean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. So I prepared the bread, and I got the ham and the cheese, and I put the first one in.
By the way, this is not a sponsored segment.
No, and I put it on the stovetop, and I let it go for a few minutes, and then I opened it up to look at it. Well, I flipped it.
Right.
I flipped it because if I opened it up to look at it,
you'd be looking at the uncooked side.
I'd be looking at the uncooked side.
This didn't work at all.
Ah! So I flipped it, and then I opened it up, and I looked at the cooked side, and I went, no, okay, it's getting there. So I let the uncooked side sit there for a while, and then I flipped it again, and I flipped it again, and I flipped it again, and I flipped it again. I made three very good grilled ham and cheese sandwiches. They were good. The girls enjoyed them. However, here's my problem.
Yeah.
With the Flip Witch.
Yeah.
Is when I used to make a grilled cheese sandwich in just an open frying pan.
Yeah.
I could see when it was starting to burn.
Yeah. Okay.
And now with the Flip Witch, I'm doing everything blind, man.
Yeah.
I'm doing it blind. I might as well just be cooking with a blindfold on.
Yeah.
So, did it take longer?
No, it took about the same amount of time. But I probably spent more time flipping it because I was paranoid about burning.
Okay.
Whereas opposed with the open frying pan,
right.
I'm not paranoid because I can see.
Okay, but will you be as paranoid the next time you do it? Or will you feel like you got a better handle on it?
No, I'll still continue to flip it like a paranoid maniac because that's who I am.
Is this like the perfect pancake? Do you remember that one?
It was the same thing.
I have vague recollection of the perfect pancake.
Pancake batter, and it was supposed to make the perfect pancake.
Yeah.
We bought one of those, opened it up, hinge broke immediately. We didn't even make a pancake.
This is a very sturdy piece of metal.
Is it?
Yeah, it's well put together. There are far more pros than cons. The only con I have for this is that I couldn't see the sandwich being made, so I did not know if it was burning. However, the sandwich, with my neurosis of constantly checking, did come out good. It's the perfect size. If you're just one guy who wants one sandwich, this is perfect. But if you're a guy, I had to make three of them.
Yeah.
And I found out that making three of them in this one little thing took forever. Because I'm like, all right, Caitlin, your sandwich is done. Reagan, hold on. It's going to be a while before yours is ready because I got to do it one at a time.
Did you feel like you saved a lot of time?
No.
But again,
if it was just one sandwich I had to make, then yeah, I definitely would save time with cleanup.
Did you let the pan cool between sandwiches?
No.
Okay. So here was my experience. I took mine out of the box. First thing you're supposed to do is clean the Flipwich.
Yeah, yeah.
While cleaning the Flipwich, this well-made product came apart in my hands.
Oh, really?
So I had two one-sided Flipwiches.
So
I didn't have the top and bottom together. And then I couldn't get the two to reconnect. So I took it out of the kitchen, took it over to my desk, and sat there for 10 minutes going, what the hell? And finally got it put back together again. And then I went back and cleaned it. Should have cleaned it while it was apart. Would have been easier to clean. Didn't think about that till just this second. So I get it cleaned. I get it seasoned. I'm on my way. I'm making a chicken and cheese sandwich. I've got some deli. I get my bread on there. I get some deli chicken. I get some Colby Jack. I get the whole thing ready to go.
Yeah.
And then I cook the thing and I burn it to hell.
Because you can't
you
see
didn't
it.
Check it the way Jack did.
I tried. I thought two minutes. I hope that's enough time. Boy, was it more than enough time. I don't know at what point it started to burn, but burn it did. So I was like, well, that's a mess.
Did you open it up in a big cloud of smoke?
Well, what I did was
the building evacuated.
So I put the pan under some water. I sent that sandwich down the disposal. I cleaned the pan, cleaned quite well and easily, put the thing away and made macaroni. Then later in the evening, I decided to give it another go. I'm like, I'm going to keep it basic. I'm going to make a grilled cheese.
All right, now this explains something to me now.
What?
Because I sent you pictures in real time as I was making
it. Oh, that was real time? Okay.
It was real time. So the first picture I sent Joe is the Flipwich on my stovetop.
Yeah.
Then the second picture I send Joe is the picture of one side completed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third picture is the other side completed, and it looks really good. And then you texted back. You just went, that looks successful. And now I know why, because yours was not.
Well, then today you're like, why didn't you take pictures? And I'm like, because if I'd taken time to take photos, the first responders might have been upset. Who knows what would have happened? So later in the evening, I decide, let's give it another go. Let's make a basic grilled cheese. Yeah. Get the bread down there, get the cheese on there, get the bread on there, make a grilled cheese sandwich. Hey, that turned out fantastic. It was amazing.
So it was the Colby Jack that was the problem.
So then I decide, well, that's off. That is a small grilled cheese, and all I had earlier today was a little macaroni. I'm going to make a second grilled cheese.
Okay.
So I put another bread down there and more cheese and then the bread, and then I burned that one all to hell.
Because you didn't let it cool off.
Because I didn't let it cool off. So that's on me. So lesson for next time. But again, burn the sandwich to charred pieces. And then, but again.
So you burned two out of three.
Yeah, that's on me. It's not on the Flipwich.
It's a new high score.
But my Flipwich didn't come apart.
Mine's back together.
Oh, okay.
You know, I know what the deal is.
I will tell you, having listened to both these stories, I don't think you guys saved any time at all.
No, it was the first time through, and I know better now. I'm chalking this up to user error. For me, single guy who doesn't have to make additional food for little girls, I'm just making a sandwich. It was fine. It was great. And the cleanup, I'd rather clean this than clean a pan where I'm not, you know,
Pan's larger to clean. That's for sure.
This was very easy to clean. It was exactly as they said, wipe, all done. The mess came right off. And I know because I made two of them.
I haven't cleaned mine.
Two messes.
Yet.
That's
so mine will probably have a little more cleaning to do. I'll probably have to get a scrub brush.
Yeah,
but
that's what you got kids for.
Man. I haven't cleaned mine yet.
Yeah, but I would it was a $20 thing, and it's okay.
I can tell you this right now: when I'm home alone at lunch, the girls are at school or summer camp or something like that, and I want a grilled cheese sandwich, I'll make it with the Flipwich.
Yeah,
but if I've got to make a grilled cheese sandwiches for my family, that Flipwich ain't coming out of the cabinet.
Now, supposedly you can also make hamburgers on it. I watched reviews on this before I bought the thing.
Yeah, they're a liar.
And it was generally fine. And I watched someone cook the 6 hot dogs
they
at
say
once.
Six hot dogs in this thing.
Yeah.
It's the size of a slice of bread. And they went, you can make 6 hot dogs. No, you can make 6 cocktail weenies.
No, I watched,
you can't make 6 hot dogs.
I specifically watched a video of a lady last night making 6 hot dogs.
Yeah.
And she was just as skeptical as you.
They weren't bun size hot dogs.
They were little hot dogs.
They were cocktail weenies.
They weren't like, like Vienna Franks.
Exactly. You can make Vienna. Yeah, they weren't hot dogs.
The lady made hot dogs.
Nah, she made something.
She wasn't happy with them.
Size isn't everything.
She didn't feel like it cooked well, but anyway. So flip which thumbs up, thumbs down, Jack?
Thumbs up.
Yeah, I give it a thumbs up, too.
I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
A situational tool.
Yes.
It's a situational
perfect for
tool.
The grilled cheese.
And if you're like me and you're paranoid, be prepared to look at your sandwich a lot.
Break here. When we come back, Amelia Earhart, found or no? Also, a finely remembered, well-remembered amusement park. Is it going to come back? We'll tell you as we continue. Over the Line, 610 WTBN. You could have a steam train. WTVN, Columbus. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos, it's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN, the station only a voice command away on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa, play 610 WTVN on iHeartRadio. News, traffic, weather, and your favorite talk shows in your car, on your phone, and now on your smart speaker at home. And all you have to do is ask Alexa, play 610 WTVN on iHeartRadio, and we'll be right there. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us tonight. His son Ben is our designated young person as well.
Carrying the weight of all the on his shoulders of all young people everywhere.
I'm representing all of you. You better count on
an entire generation of young folks are counting on Ben to not make them look bad.
Oh, dear God.
Amelia Earhart, speaking of Women's History Month. Amelia Earhart, Ben, you're young. Do you know who Amelia Earhart is?
No clue. Yeah.
She's pretty famous, right?
Yeah.
For having disappeared.
I think I'm on like just the cusp of when people start to get ignorant and just no knowledge of anything.
Now, when Joe, myself, and your dad were young, there was this amazing TV show on called In Search Of.
Ooh.
That was hosted by Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
Spock. And it was great. And one of my favorite episodes was the Amelia Earhart episode. She and her co-pilot were attempting to circumnavigate the globe by plane, and they disappeared on July 2nd, 1937. They were traveling from Papua New Guinea to Howland Island in the Pacific, and they dropped off the face of the earth, never to be seen again. Or we thought, because since then she's become like Elvis, and people she's been turning up all over the place. There's been 1,000 theories on what happened to her and her co-pilot Fred Noonan. As a matter of fact, as recently as like 6 months ago.
By the way, everybody wants to know what happened to her. No one ever says what happened to Fred.
Well, he's included.
Poor Fred.
Remember
Fred.
She was the pilot. She was the one who was attempting to be the first at something.
Well, he was on the same plane.
The first navigator of a woman flying
right.
the airplane
so
across
that
the
would
world.
Have been his first.
You know, two people go missing and you only ever talk about the one.
Well, she was in charge. The captain.
It's like Frodo and Sam.
Yeah, no one ever talks about Sam. Fat Hobbit. So anyway,
don't talk down to Sam.
I'm with you all the way, Mr. Frodo. So anyway, I don't know how we got there, but we did. As recently as like 6 months ago, dominated the Today Show. Someone had found a picture, and it's a picture of Japanese people talking to white people. And the white people, of course, their backs are to the camera, so you can't tell who they are. But they're saying, this is probably Fred and Amelia. They were probably captured by the Japanese as spies and executed. So there's all sorts of theories. Aliens took them. They're captured by the Japanese and executed as spies. They died on Howland Island. All sorts of theories. Well, now they say they are 99% sure they have the answer.
Who says?
Richard Jantz, an emeritus anthropology professor at the University of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Argues that the bones discovered on the Pacific island of Nikumaroro in 1940, 3 years after she disappeared, are 99% likely to be Amelia Earhart's remains.
What about the other 1%?
Those are the scientists who don't believe in climate change. No, the research contradicts a forensic analysis of remains found in 1941 that described bones as belonging to a male. The bones were subsequently...
That's probably Fred!
The bones were subsequently lost.
Fred's like,
but continue to be a source of debate. Earhart was attempting to be the first woman to fly solo across the Atlantic. She was one of the most famous people in the world at the time of her disappearance. So here you go. So they now are 99% sure that she died on Nikumaroro Island.
I went to school with a Nikumaroro.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I did.
Did
he look like Amelia Earhart?
Mm-hmm, suspiciously.
They used forensic science. They described the bones as possibly belonging to a short, stocky, muscular European. The analysis in 1941 says that the remains belong to a male who was probably 5 foot 5.5 inches tall.
Danny DeVito?
No, that's way too tall for Danny
Amelia
DeVito.
Amelia Earhart's pilot license, however, recorded her height as 5 foot eight, but her driver's license said she was 5 foot seven. Photos also show Earhart's slender frame. Fred Noonan's pilot's license listed him as 6 foot and a quarter.
None of these numbers jive at all.
But Jantz says that he's sure those are her bones and the mystery is solved. Well, wait 6 months when someone brings up another photograph they found is something somewhere and they say that she did something else.
Did she have a sex change or something?
No, that wasn't possible back in 1937. You just had to wear wigs.
Oh, man.
Maybe it was possible on New Kokomo Island.
Kokomo Island by the Beach Boys.
Yeah, that's right. So this one, a guy named Brian Root has begun a crowdfunding effort to purchase and resurrect the Geauga Lake Amusement Park.
Wow, really? Geauga Lake?
Yes.
Didn't it turn into SeaWorld for a while?
It was all part of one. SeaWorld was at Geauga Lake in Aurora. And
they were on either side of the lake.
Do you remember the Geauga Lake, like their little jingle?
Sort of.
At the end of our commercials, it was just Geauga Lake. Like that was the whole thing.
So I remember there was
Wyandotte
Lake here, and that became Zambezi Bay.
That's right.
And then Geauga Lake was in Cleveland. Yeah. And then was it the beach in Cincinnati?
The beach was sort of across from Kings Island.
Yeah.
Still there, actually.
Yeah, it's still there. It's the only one that's still there.
Well, I thought it closed, though.
We should go sometime.
Didn't it close? Still there.
I've driven by and seen people there, but it's like on open weird times, actually. Because I go down there to Kings Island and it sometimes is open.
Hmm. Yeah,
but Geauga Lake and SeaWorld were on either side of Geauga Lake.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Wyandotte Lake, I think, is probably the most successful because it grew up.
It's got to be more successful than Geauga Lake because that place closed 11 years ago.
But Wyandotte Lake grew up and expanded and became this amazing, this big Zambezi Bay place.
Well, the Geauga Lake property is being divided up with plans to sell it to housing developers. In fact, it's already been sold. So they plan to develop it and put housing on it. Brian's plan is to purchase the land and then rehabilitate the park close to its nostalgic state while upgrading amenities and updating safety precautions. This is what he says. He estimates the total price of this endeavor could be as much as $350 million. He has set an initial fundraising goal of $20 million just to sort of get the ball rolling. And in the first 2 weeks alone, he's raised $1,009.
Ooh.
So this is success.
What on Indiegogo or something?
What he should do in order to scare away the people who want to do the houses
is
he should put on he should dress as like some creepy fluorescent deep sea diver ghost and just chase everybody away.
Just
turn it into an episode of Scooby Doo.
Yeah, don't let any drug induced kids. With the dog.
Yeah, don't let the mystery machine pull
him. He should tell them that the land used to be a cemetery and then run around and tell everyone he's Craig T. Nelson. Brian Rood says that if they fall short of their goal, and they're gonna, the money that they do raise will go to children's charities.
Oh, well, okay.
Will it be the Brian Root Children's Charity?
No. No, he specifically
feed the children of Brian Root.
No, he specifically names the charities. I just don't have them here. So, we've got bottom of the hour news to get to when we continue movie news and popcorn wars. This is Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. The Line on News Radio 610 WTBN. Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us tonight. His son Ben is our designated young person.
Hi again.
And I expect we'll not know the names of anyone having a birthday today. Famous birthdays. Terrence Howard. Oh, sorry. I forgot we had a thing for this. There we go.
Go ahead.
The music bed is new, and I got it right once, and then I blew it today.
Terrence Howard. It's like a flip witch.
Ben, do you know who Terrence Howard is?
No clue.
He was on Happy Days. No, that's Ron Howard.
He was in the first Iron Man movie, yeah.
Isn't he on Empire?
Yes.
Is that Terrence Howard?
Yes, that's Terrence Howard.
Hard out here for a pimp.
He's 49 today. Singer Lisa Loeb.
He doesn't know who that is.
How old do you think Lisa Loeb is, Jack? It's a milestone birthday for Lisa Loeb.
50.
Yeah, she's 50. She's 50.
Thank you for the hint there.
I was going to guess 49.
Don't worry, be happy. Bobby McFerrin.
Ben, anyone of these sound familiar at all?
59.
Nope.
68.
When Joe just looks at you blankly, he wants you to guess the age.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, that's your cue.
That's how he's interviewed me for years.
Ben, I think you'll know this one. Johnny Knoxville.
Huh. No. Who was from?
What's he from?
Jackass.
He's from Jackass.
I haven't seen...
The last one was out like 15 years ago. Okay, that's fine.
I'm not even 15.
I know, you're 14. Johnny Knoxville, though, is 47 today. Let's play Popcorn Wars.
Okay, hang on.
All right. Popcorn Wars tonight. Kevin will be our host, and Kevin will provide Jack and I with the name of a performer. We will trade off naming the film credits of that performer back and forth until someone just can't come up with another. It is worth noting, I am our returning champion, having won last week for the first time ever in the history of Popcorn Wars.
Do you want to talk about the hint?
Yes, that's right. Man, I'm...
Returning champion doesn't know all the rules.
There's not one bit in the last 3 minutes I've done correctly.
It's all right. You're happy to be the returning champ.
Popcorn Wars, we each can get one hint. We ask for a hint, and Kevin will then provide us with the rest of the cast list for at that point, unnamed Jennifer. We already gave away you. It's Jennifer Aniston is the one Kevin said we were going to do. A Jennifer Aniston film, and then we'll have to name the movie. Man, I'm the worst.
And I have pointed out that there's a bonus. I think I'll give you a bonus if you know why I chose her.
And I think I got the bonus. Okay. By the way, Joe, you just have to win 14 more to tie me.
By the way, tonight's not going to be the night.
This one's easy because you just have to write down the Jason Bateman movies that we did a few weeks back.
It's not. I can only remember the wrong answers I had. I'm in trouble.
Well, then, why don't I go first, then, if you're in trouble? Because I got a list of like nine.
I will defer to you.
You want to go straight to the bonus question?
I will defer to you, Jack. Did you drop something?
I just fell. Okay, all right. No. Yeah, I dropped my pen.
That's our first casualty.
So the reason why I think you chose Jennifer Aniston is because she was in the movie The Leprechaun, and it's St. Patrick's Day this Saturday.
That is correct.
Oh, she was in The Leprechaun?
Yeah, it's like her first movie.
Well, actually, it's just called Leprechaun, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
Not in the Leprechaun in space. I was going to pick Warwick Davis, because he could have gone through all the Leprechaun
Willow
movies.
Oh, Willow and Star Wars. Yeah.
All right.
The Leprechaun.
Horrible bosses.
There you go. Horrible Bosses 2.
Why'd you do that? You know I got like three movies on my list.
I waited for that to happen.
Just think Jason Bateman. She's in like 9 Jason Bateman movies.
I only remember the wrong name of the one movie where I
if
gave the wrong
close,
name of it.
If you're close, we give it to you. It's like, it's the movie's called Leprechaun, and I said The Leprechaun.
It's the Swap. Is that the right name of it this time?
You're close. You're very close.
The Switch, close. Isn't it?
The Switch.
We give that to you.
Okay.
That's close
Kevin,
enough.
Kevin, last time when we were doing Jason Bateman movies, what did I call it? The Sperm Switch?
You called it Semen Swap.
The Semen Swap.
Do not Google that, people. Do not.
That does not star Jennifer Aniston.
No. But guaranteed, it probably stars someone who's been paid to keep their mouth quiet.
It's my turn, right?
Oh, God, yes.
It stars somebody who had an affair with the president.
Yes.
Okay, I've got too many things to say about
this. Rockstar.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going into the past.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to lose,
Jim. Office Party.
Close.
Was it Office Party, Christmas Party?
Yeah, Office Christmas
Party. Office Christmas okay. Party. Yeah, that's okay. Good. That's again. That's one of those Jason Bateman ones.
Okay.
She needed a 16th piece of flair for Office Space.
That's true. Yes.
That's one of my... I love that movie. Mm-hmm. I love that movie so much. Ben, were you alive when that came out?
No, he was not.
I'm going to take a hint.
Wow.
All right.
Mr. Returning...
Okay, let's do this one. This should be easy.
Oh, last week or the week before the hint, the guy who chose the it was the worst hint in the world for a movie that nobody had ever seen.
Owen Wilson, wow. Eric Dane, Kathleen Turner, Alan Arkin, a dog.
Yeah.
Think the reggae singer
Marley and Me.
Yes.
Okay.
There we go.
This is she's really good in this movie. It's a really funny movie. We're the Millers.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Her and Jason Sudeikis. It's Jason Sudeikis, right?
That is Jason Sudeikis. And Emma Roberts.
And Ed Helms.
And the murdering cop from Detroit.
Huh?
Don't you remember the movie Detroit with the kid, the cop who shoots somebody? It was...
You just described every day in Detroit.
No, the movie Detroit.
Oh.
By Catherine Bigelow.
Dr. Detroit with Dan Aykroyd.
Right that now. Movie you remember.
She's the one?
Yeah. I think that is the name of it. Is it? No, wait. Hold on. Yes. Correct.
Bruce Almighty.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
She plays Jim Carrey's girlfriend.
Yep.
I'm probably going to lose here. Oh.
Isn't She's the One like a pseudo remake of the Brothers McMullen?
Yeah, Ed Burns.
Yeah, Ed Burns.
He's awful.
It's the guy remade his own movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Shoot. Yeah, I'm probably going to blow it here. Can I take Jack's hint?
No.
That's up to Jack.
I already gave you Marley.
Phone a friend?
I had Marley. You beat me by second, giving me the,
oh, sure.
The reggae right. thing, oh, but yeah. I was about to say it.
But I was about to say it. Tip of my tongue. I couldn't get to it until you got me.
Do animated movies? Animated movies count. Do you remember her voice from anything?
Was she in B-movie?
I don't think so.
No.
No?
She was not in B-movie. That's Renee Zellinger.
I never saw it. I would have no idea who was in that. I don't know. I'm done.
You're conceding?
Yeah, I got nothing else.
She was in Storks and the Iron Giant. Doing
Wait, Jack's got to give one to win.
Oh, he does?
Storks! Storks! Storks!
No, I've still got three on my list, and none of them are those.
All right,
I didn't know she was in Storks. I thought Storks was okay. The Breakup.
Yep.
Mm.
Yep.
Her
yep.
and Vince Vaughn.
She's been in like 20 movies
Jason
that were all
Bateman.
The same.
They are pretty much the same.
Yeah.
She plays the long-suffering girlfriend. If you need a long-suffering girlfriend, you call Jennifer Aniston's agent.
What else did you have?
I also had Along Came Polly, which I think is her and Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
And then one of the worst movies ever made, her and Gerard Butler in Bounty Hunter.
Yes, that was bad.
Kevin, what's big that we missed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was like Picture Perfect. She did a whole bunch of stuff right after Friends.
Yeah.
You know, she was in Love Happens. We said The Switch. Just Go With It. Wanderlust. Cake. She was trying to get an award.
I've never seen any of those.
Mother's Day last year or the year before. Yeah, she's in some pretty awful movies. But yeah, Leprechaun. She is in Leprechaun, which is funny because if you watch the movie Leprechaun, the beginning, you start watching it and you're like, because I watch it every St. Patrick's Day because I'm a good Irish boy.
Sure.
And
see, I'm a good Irish boy because I don't watch it every St. Patrick's Day.
It starts out, you're watching it, and you're like, oh, this is actually kind of a fun little 80s movie. And then Jennifer Aniston comes in and ruins it all. Just like the second she shows.
It's really weird how so many these 80s icons started off in slasher flicks. Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th, Johnny Depp. Nightmare on Elm Street, Jennifer Aniston in Leprechaun.
Yeah.
I was just talking about because they did the Death Wish remake in the original Death Wish from 1974.
Denzel Washington.
Well, it was...
No,
Lawrence Fishburne is like in like the second one, but it's Jeff Goldblum is one of the punks that attack Charles Bronson's family.
Yeah, he doesn't have any lines,
does he?
No,
he escapes.
Oh, he escapes?
They escape and there's no comeuppance for him whatsoever.
Oh, well, that's because he's Jeff Goldblum.
There is a...
10 Goldblums out of 10.
There is a Jason Bateman movie out right now that I'm looking at the top movies of the box office for the weekend. Number 5, Game Night. Is that any good?
Yeah, Game Night's not bad.
It's probably just like... Office Christmas
probably,
Party.
Yes.
And,
somewhere, I think.
And Horrible
but with
Bosses.
An escape room, right?
Yeah, it's being sort of, it's the same sort of suburbanite jerk that he plays.
Number 4 is Red Sparrow, and I've never heard of that. Is that a superhero that I don't know of?
Jennifer Lawrence. It's her sort of doing Russian spy.
She's Black Widow.
And she gets naked. That's like the big thing. They like promoted the fact that she gets naked in the movie. She was like out there promoting the fact.
Number 3 is Strangers Pray at
Happy
Night.
Natural Women's History Month, everybody.
Awful movie.
That's awful.
Nothing new.
Number 2 is A Wrinkle in Time, $33 million there.
Not bad.
And number 1 for the fourth week in a row is Black Panther, another $41 million.
It's top $1 billion globally, I believe.
Yeah. I saw you saw a movie that tanked this weekend, Hurricane Heist.
Yes.
Should it have tanked? Was it bad?
Well, you know what's funny is it's not a good movie. It's not good. Anything I say from this point forward, don't misinterpret it as being an endorsement of the film.
Can I ask one quick question?
Yeah.
Is it about a heist that takes place during a hurricane or someone trying to steal a hurricane?
No, it's during a hurricane.
Because hurricanes are delicious. I don't know if you've gone to the bar and ordered a hurricane.
Is Denzel Washington really... in this? Is this like Hurricane Carter and a robbery? No. Or is this...
It does star Maggie Grace, who's from Columbus.
Okay.
She was from She was in Lost, and she was the daughter in Taken.
Oh, it's too bad she couldn't be in A Good Thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, the movie, it's like, it's. Do you remember Hard Rain came out about 20 years ago? With
Morgan Freeman, Christian Slater.
Wow. Yeah. I should have picked Christian Slater movies.
I would have won that one.
So, it's like that, where it feels like just a crappy 90s movie that was made in 2018.
Oh, okay.
With 2005 special effects.
Oh, that's terrible.
So, there's something weirdly entertaining about it, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we've got a break to hit here. When we come back, what is going on with the Playboy Mansion? Hefner's gone, but what is going on with the mansion? Also, child locks. Oh, a child locks an iPhone for 40 years. That's
40
fun.
Plus years.
For 40 plus. Yeah. We'll find out what's going to happen in 2058 when we continue. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN.
The rockin' best people in town. 610 WTVN.
Joe Jewett and Jack DeVos. It's Over the Line on News Radio 610 WTVN. Our friend Kevin Carr from Fat Guys in the Movies with us.
What's up?
His son Ben is our designated young person and the only one I know who's ever gotten in trouble for watching America's Funniest Home Videos.
The only one I know who's ever been traumatized by it.
Yes.
It was a bad time for me, okay?
Okay, sorry.
Why are you making me sound bad at this point?
Didn't mean to trigger you. Okay, then. This story comes to us from Shanghai, China. A 2-year-old boy has locked his mother's iPhone for 48 years after repeatedly entering in the wrong passcode. The child from Shanghai kept pressing the wrong numbers until eventually the phone locked for more than 25 million minutes which is the equivalent of almost 48 years. Apple's device can be set to increase the lockout time with each failed attempt if someone enters the incorrect passcode, but it is not known how many times the child typed the wrong digits. The mother, identified only by her surname Lou, said she took her eye off her son long enough for him to lock the phone for almost five decades.
Well, isn't there, certainly there's a way to...
This is a design flaw.
To get that open again.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
I told you to.
If she were accused of a crime and the FBI wanted in the phone, I thought, remember that story? Wasn't Apple able to get into that phone?
They I don't think they were. I don't think they were. I never heard a follow-up to that.
Well, yeah, that's a serious design flaw then, if that's a thing.
Well, it's a design flaw that it can get that far. I mean, it'd be like, okay, you're locked out for a year. You know, brute force isn't going to break this at this point. So
yeah, if I'm trying to like log on to a website or something, say I've got whatever website it is, and I've got a username and a password, and I can't remember my password, and I guessed wrong once, and I guessed wrong twice, and I guessed wrong three times.
Of those passwords
it might say password one, password two, password three, and then it says, "Sorry, you're locked out. You know, call this 800 number or come back in 24 hours or whatever." It doesn't, like, on the third try say, get out of here and don't ever come back.
Or come back in 50 years.
Yeah. That's terrible.
I'm just reading the story, man. Don't shoot the messenger.
Well, what is she going to do?
It doesn't say.
Probably get a new iPhone.
I was going to say, assume she'll
back it up to her computer.
Yeah. I mean.
Well, don't they make them all over there? Can't you just take it back to the factory?
I'm wondering probably. If the kid was just off at the factory and did that. Just to get his mom mad.
Yeah, the kid probably works at the factory.
I'm sure the geniuses at the Apple store can fix it.
The kid probably works at that factory and knows how to get into it if he wanted to.
Yeah, look, what have you made for me lately, Ben? I have an iPhone. A guy in China made. Kid in China made this. What have you made?
Oh,
trouble.
A mess.
Certainly not a grilled cheese sandwich with a Flipwitch.
That's because you don't have a Flipwitch, but if you had one.
Man,
you
got a birthday coming up. My life would be infinitely better with a Flipwitch.
Anyone's would be. Not sponsored, that's right. Hugh Hefner may have died.
What are they
going to
do? Send us more? We already have two.
There are other Red Copper products that the lady
Well, send them. We'll review them on the air. That's
you
fine.
Need two more, Jack.
Hugh Hefner.
I do, so I can make three at a time. You're right.
Hugh Hefner. Hugh Hefner, dead. Yeah. But what's going to happen to that house? Well, here's the answer to that. I hope.
Well,
so a recent agreement between the owner. Remember, there was a story about how the owner of the Playboy Mansion was not Hugh Hefner anymore. Someone had bought it in recent years. But the contract said that they had to let Hugh Hefner live there till his dying day. Well, that's come and gone. So now what's going to happen to the thing? Well, an agreement between that guy and the city of Los Angeles says that the property will be protected as a permanent protection covenant. Mansion owner Darren Metropolis has informed officials that he has no plans to demolish the 14,000 square foot.
Sounds like a supervillain.
Main residence.
This is a Stan Lee byline. Stan Lee.
Tremble before Darren Metropolis.
He says that he plans to restore the house and its facade to its original grandeur.
Okay, just drain the grotto and make sure you get the really strong astringent.
Yeah, yes. When you say protection, I hope that there's not enough Trojans in the
world. I was going to say.
Oh, yeah, not enough. Yeah, for sure on that. And all the lighting, just black lights, like, everywhere.
Oh,
Just replace all the furniture. I wouldn't even touch any of it.
Darren Metropolis.
Ugh. Kevin, we got a little bit of time left. Tell us, what are you looking forward to in the spring? What are the big movies that we can look forward to?
Well, of course, you got Tomb Raider coming up at the end of this week. So yeah. I'm curious to see what they do with that. And you've got Ready Player One at the end of the month.
They moved up the date for Infinity War.
Mm-hmm. What, like a day, right? Didn't they?
No, like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Robert Downey Jr. asked him to.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's a big one. Obviously, looking forward to Infinity War. I'm also looking forward to Solo. I mean, everyone's looking forward to Infinity War.
They did a good job with the trailer. I hope it's not like Suicide Squad, where the trailer is way better than the movie.
Well, God, I hope nothing else is like Suicide Squad ever, because that movie was terrible. But I've been liking what they're doing with the Star Wars spinoffs. I thought Rogue One was really neat. And what you notice is with the spinoffs, not necessarily the episodes, you know, the regular episode mm-hmm. or whatever, these always have production problem rumors.
Yeah.
And it turns out okay.
Actually, they just announced in the last couple days they're going to do a live-action Star Wars series for the Disney Digital Channel.
It's probably going to launch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll do that. So, hey, that is all the time we have for tonight. So, Kevin, thank you for coming in tonight.
Thank you.
Ben?
Yeah.
Go to school tomorrow.
No. I don't have to listen to you.
You're not my dad.
You're not my dad.
This is very true.
You're not.
Remember, you can keep up with us online on Facebook. Just go to OTL Show. You can find us there and criticize us all you like. We don't care.
Please. We'll take any feedback.
Whatever you got. And join us again next week. We appreciate it. For Jack DeVos, I'm Joe Jewett. Top of the hour news ahead on News Radio 610 WTVN.